Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, we have a special Thanksgiving show for you today. I thought, since it's Thanksgiving, and I don't usually do a particular show for Thanksgiving, we do something to celebrate somebody up here in the Northwest who is making a difference, a huge difference, in the lives of those that he works with. And it's been said many times that no one can quite help a veteran like a fellow veteran can. And so today we're going to recognize a young veteran in the Pacific Northwest who, in spite of dealing with his own PTSD and traumatic brain injury, is making a large difference in the lives of veterans. He is Chris Brown, director of Growing Veterans. And I heard of Chris Brown on Twitter. Somebody sent me a message one day and they said, you know, you should interview this guy, check him out. So I looked up the website, found it interesting. A couple of weeks later, I chatted to Chris on the phone, and almost instantly, I could tell that Chris had a great story to tell. But more importantly to me, Chris is the real deal. A couple of months later, I drove up to his farm just north of Bellingham, Washington. It's in the Linden area, where Chris gave me a guided tour. And we then sat down in his office where he shared his journey from Marine to returning vet, farmer, and businessman. Chris Brown is a U.S. Marine combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan and a Purple Heart recipient. While earning his BA at Western Washington University, Chris interacted with local and regional veterans organizations, and he continues to volunteer on the Whatcom County Veterans Advisory Board. He's currently pursuing a master's in social work through a part-time program at the University of Washington, and he's the founder and director of GrowingVeterans.org. Since its inception, Growing Veterans has been providing informal peer support, empowering vets to share resources, to share opportunities, and just share an ear with each other. And I want to read you their mission, and then I'm going to bring you Chris's story, mostly in his own words. I felt really important to tell this story in Chris's own words. So the mission of Growing Veterans is to empower military veterans to grow food, communities, and each other. We combine veteran reintegration with sustainable agriculture, creating a holistic solution to fighting the multitude of issues the veteran population faces, and simultaneously empowering our fellow vets to strengthen the incredibly important sustainable agriculture movement. Their cause, and again I'm reading from their website here, they say, besides being a place where vets can come to feel normal again, we try to harness the skills, energy, and passions of military veterans to support and strengthen the sustainable agriculture movement. And I love this story because I'm a huge believer myself in the power of nature and the healing power of nature. Look how our animals instinctively know how to take care of each other, how Mother Nature, how plants and trees and shrubs know how to heal themselves if we get out of the way, if we humans get out of the way. So I wanted to share Chris's transition from three tours in 4 years to Iraq and Afghanistan, back to normal in quotes, life here in the U.S. He talked very honestly, he talked very openly about his challenges, and we'll hear some of those, as I said, in his own voice. So serving in the military is somewhat of a tradition in Chris Brown's family, and although he felt no obligation to follow family tradition, the thought of sticking around his hometown or going back to college did not appeal to him. So in 2004, this tall, good-looking teenager with a quick and easy smile became a U.S. Marine.
At the time, we were already in Iraq and Afghanistan, and so I knew that my odds of going to war were pretty high, and I kind of, you know, as an 18-year-old, I wanted to test my mettle, as they say, and see what that was about and just see what the military was about in general. I definitely got a full dose of that I deployed twice to Iraq, a 7-month deployment between 2005 and 2006, another 7-month deployment in 2007. And during that deployment, I was actually wounded during a suicide bombing that was followed by a complex attack on our patrol base. And then they sent me one more time to Afghanistan right before my end of enlistment date. So I was in Afghanistan for about 4 months, and then the Marine Corps, they don't make you stay. They sent me home so I could get out. So I did three deployments in those 4 years. And, yeah, you know, I served as an infantryman, and so I was boots on the ground, walking around, living among the local populace, and, you know, fighting the war. It was a real thing.
Tell us about the injury, what type of injury you had, and how you felt emotionally after that.
Well, I still haven't fully pinpointed whether it was from shrapnel from the explosion or a bullet from the attack that followed, but whatever the projectile was went through my calf.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do have a small little bit of shrapnel that went into my shoulder blade. And, you know, I was actually on my rest rotation at the time, so I was sleeping midday in my boxers. And when it happened, I got up and threw my gear on and was running around barefoot over glass, and I pulled glass out of my feet a few days later. But, at the time, I didn't think much was going on psychologically because I was around, you know, during that event, 20 other people were wounded right alongside me. And so I was around those folks and it was normal. I didn't really realize I had any issues going on until I got out and I wasn't around that environment. And I realized I was experiencing life in a much different way than the people around me, who never had that experience. Hypervigilance, really high anxiety. For a while there was quite a bit of anger. There was a few occasions when I was in school before I really started getting some good help where I would be in a classroom and I literally had a flashback of like a fireball engulfing the classroom. And that would trigger a huge anxiety attack, and I have to go home from school early and basically lay on the couch all day trying to get my heart to stop racing. But I did some pretty heavy counseling for a year or two and did group counseling with other Iraq Afghanistan vets. And I tried this counseling method called EMDR, which stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And basically they try to recreate the REM stage of your sleep when your brain is doing the most processing by having your eyes move back and forth while you're still awake and you're processing like a specific event in detail. And through that process, the counselor kind of guided me into focusing on right after the blast hit and what the sights and the sounds and the smells were that I could remember from that. And that going deep into detail like that made me realize that the wave of air and debris that went passed over me after the blast sounded just like the ventilation system in my classroom. And I was able to make the connection that the ventilation system was probably triggering these flashbacks. And ever since then, I haven't had another one. And I think it was, you know, just being able to recognize that, and something, it seems like something might have switched in my brain to tell me, you know, at least subconsciously tell itself, this is what to expect. And because it's expecting it, it stopped happening.
Chris laughed after that, but I could tell it wasn't easy for him to share his experiences with PTSD. As you can imagine, it's never easy to retell something you're trying to leave behind. He stopped a couple of times during that piece to seemingly to catch his thoughts, to keep his composure. 6 years after leaving the military, Chris still manages PTSD and traumatic brain injury on a day-to-day basis. Yes, he said there are still struggles, But they're not as regular as they were in the beginning. The first year was definitely the hardest. I asked if after a certain time, people just expected him to be over it, to be cured, per se. He laughed and looked at me and said nothing. But a slight tilt of the head gave me an affirmative on that. So how did the military help with his transition from boots on the ground, fighting a daily war, to so-called normal life back in the U.S.?
But as far as my transition from the military, it was pretty sad. Myself and the other guys who were sent over for just a few months, they call us partial deployers. And because we were getting out during the deployment, we had to do the transition assistance program class before we deployed. And at the time, you know, nobody was caring about what they were going to do when they left. They were caring about the fact that they were going to war in a couple weeks. And, you know, I saw a bunch of guys who came into class still probably drunk or hungover from the night before and, you know, putting their heads on the desk and not really paying attention. The only thing I took away was how to write a resume. But I went through the class, and then a couple weeks later got on a plane and flew over to Afghanistan. And I had to leave my unit early because I had a wife at home and I wasn't going to try and extend and risk not being able to make it home. And within a week of coming home, I was out and back to my real home. And between the flight home from Afghanistan and the flight home to Seattle, I didn't really have any sort of guidance. And getting into school, I was lucky that my wife had gone, she was finishing up college, and so she was able to help me through the application process and all that, but I really kind of had to learn it all as I went. And, you know, I've heard that the military's gotten better at helping folks transition, but my experience was pretty horrible. That was back in 2008, so they've had a little bit of time to do things right. I still hear from vets who are not satisfied with the transition process, but from a management perspective, it is difficult to do, but there are some things that could probably be done much better. I'll just leave it at that.
How hard was it for you, and did you ask for help, and did you open up with people? Because, you know, I know that I've never been in the military, but you're taught to suck it up and shut up and put up.
Yeah.
So how hard was it for you to ask?
Well, you're right. I mean, there's definitely a stigma that comes along with seeking help. And in the military, it's a very negative stigma. You know, you're looked at as being weak or whatever. Yeah, there's obviously a negative stigma, and I carried that with me getting out. You know, I thought I didn't have anything wrong with me. And there was an event where a very close friend of mine, like from childhood, and I got into a fight at my parents' house, and my dad was like, what's going on with you? This is not you. And that was kind of like my rock bottom. My dad came up here after that weekend to visit me, and he sat down with me and was like, you know, you really need to get some help. You might lose your wife. You know, this is, you're different. And then he explained to me that when he was in the service, he had some anger problems and things like that, and he got some help, and that made me feel like, well, maybe this is something that needs to be done, even if I felt like it was, what's the word I'm looking for? Even if I felt like it wasn't acceptable or whatever, I started to realize that, you know, maybe it is. And once I got in with a counselor, I started learning, you know, the more physical properties of PTSD and how a traumatic event can impact your brain. And so the phrase that I've carried with me this whole time is that post-traumatic stress is a completely normal reaction to an abnormal situation, and the symptoms that come along with it are very real. But, you know, part of why we're out here and growing veterans, we focus on peer support, is because if you're somebody who has gone through this tough stuff and has gone through it and come out in a positive direction, then you can serve as an example for somebody who hasn't. And, you know, my dad did that for me, obviously. I've been able to do that with several of my peers over the past few years. And now we're able to do it on a regular basis out here with Growing Veterans. And, you know, one of the main things that peer support can do is remove that negative stigma from getting help. And it can provide a really positive example of how you can come out of this hard stuff.
And we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back with Chris Brown from Growing Veterans in just a moment. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you, at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
Coming next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Make sure you have a pen and paper ready. We'll be joined by a university bookstore expert who will share holiday reading and book suggestions to help you find that perfect gift. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
The search is over. You found the station that's not afraid to be different. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And today's conversation actually was recorded with Chris Brown. He is a veteran, and we said at the top of the hour that no one can help out a veteran quite like a fellow vet can, and he is certainly helping many fellow vets along the way. He is the director of Growing Veterans, and we're talking to him about his transition from the military into normal life, as they call it. You know, each person's experience is different, both at war and when transitioning home, but there are commonalities that many returning vets share. They face possible unemployment, divorce, depression, alcoholism, drug abuse, homelessness. In addition to that, many others face crippling physical injuries and almost all of them experience some level of post-traumatic stress disorder. How could they not? Although numbers are sketchy, we do know that around 22 veterans every single day, 22 veterans commit suicide. In most cases, the root cause of these lingering issues stemmed from coming home and basically being alone in a whole different environment. There's a loss of a feeling of belonging. In some cases, they have no family to return to. When Chris shared the story of his father telling him to get help, I wondered how many returning veterans lack that kind of support. I also wondered how Chris's story might have been very different had his father not taken him aside that day and told him he needed to get help. Even with support, Chris had a long road ahead of him and no one could walk it for him. Around 6 years ago, still working with a counselor and learning to manage and understand his PTSD and traumatic brain injury, Chris began digging the earth, growing food for himself and his wife.
I saw that it was helping me because I was able to kind of reconnect with my surroundings, I'd be able to, you know, sustain life in a plant and then use that to sustain my own life. Being able to reflect on that was really good for me. And, you know, once I got more involved with veteran stuff, I was working, I actually did a Vet Corps contract when I was going to Western. Mm-hmm. And I was working out of the veterans office there. And I was talking with veterans every day who were doing different programs at Western. And a lot of them were doing environmental programs at the Huxley College there, the Huxley College of the Environment. That's a college within Western. And they were talking about our food systems and how some of the food systems that our government subsidizes are huge monoculture crops that require, you know, tons and tons of pesticides and herbicides every year that get into our watersheds and really hurt our environment, and then are used to create processed foods that contribute to obesity and heart disease and diabetes. And so they were basically telling me this food system doesn't work. It's not good for us. And they were providing alternatives by telling me about sustainable agriculture, local small-scale food systems, organic food. My wife and I started paying more attention to where we bought our food and where that food was coming from. And working with those vets, we saw that there was definite issue. And up until, I think still even, it's viewed as kind of a left-wing issue. There's not a whole lot of folks on the right side of the political spectrum that are talking about these food systems. And I felt like veterans could really help legitimize that and make it a bipartisan issue. And so that's, you know, that's part of it. But also there's the therapeutic side, there's the employment skills side, all these things that we try to incorporate into what we do so we can help veterans transition into the civilian life and then empower them to help create change in this important area of our society. So that's kind of what got the idea going, and I was fortunate enough to have a good group of people that you know, once I got this up and running, they answered the call and started helping out, and they've been involved this whole time with me, and we've created a really good, productive, effective team, and we're doing some good things.
Chris Brown's learning curve has been massive, and it continues to be, as he learns more every day about grant writing, fundraising, engaging and leading volunteers, and helping other veterans integrate to find a sense of purpose and fulfillment, all while working towards his master's and continuing to manage his own PTSD. Community support is vital to returning veterans and to the future growth of growing veterans.
I think what's really important that we haven't talked a whole lot about is the community connection. We try to focus heavily on engaging the community, and you know, part of that is obviously so we can have the community backing us, but also so we can show veterans that the community is supportive of them, which a lot of, I mean, I talk with veterans every day. A lot of veterans don't feel like that's true. And so we're able to provide that example. But in the same light, we're able to show the community what strong assets and allies veterans can be. And, you know, I think that piece is really important.
You have a massive learning curve. I mean, you're learning, you said earlier, learning every day about this and learning to, you know, more about grant writing and fundraising, which is very important.
Yep.
What do you want people to know that we haven't already talked about? What do you want them to know about the work you're doing and the importance of it?
Well, a few things. I think what's really important that we haven't talked a whole lot about is the community connection. Mm-hmm. We try to focus heavily on engaging the community, and you know, part of that is obviously so we can have the community backing us, but also so we can show veterans that the community is supportive of them, which a lot of, I mean, I talk with veterans every day. A lot of veterans don't feel like that's true. And so we're able to provide that example. But in the same light, we're able to show the community what strong assets and allies veterans can be. And, you know, I think that piece is really important. This is not even a full 2 years that we've been around. We've been able to do quite a lot with very limited resources. And we were hoping to be able to continue expanding to provide these type of opportunities to veterans and community members in other areas. And so if folks want to be a part of that and support it, then there's some really tangible ways to do so. One is to sign up as a member on our website, thegrowingveterans.org/login. And we have this ongoing year-long fundraising campaign where individuals can either make a one-time donation or they can actually register and become fundraisers for us. They can set up their own personal page, their own goal, and then share their link with their colleagues and peers. And what we're going to do with the money we raise through that is use it to provide veteran leadership at these outposts, these developing outposts that we're trying to do, with stipends so they can actually dedicate some solid time each week to doing it. Because that's been one of our main barriers is, you know, a lot of people have great intentions, but it's really hard for them to spend, you know, even 10-20 hours a week helping out unless they're able to supplement their income in some way. And so it's really important that we're able to provide them some sort of financial incentive to work on it so they can continue, you know, living their lives and supporting themselves and their families.
And I'm talking with Chris Brown, director of growingveterans.org. You can find out more about the great work that he and other veterans and community leaders are doing to help each other. This is not just a one-sided situation here. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Chris Brown. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us.
Now I'm a farmer.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you, at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Oh, yeah, that could work.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Dr. Nels Rasmussen, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 30th, it's our first holiday edition of Animal World with the Jingle Cats and Dogs, plus our favorite adventure travelers, Helen and Bill Thayer, join us. They've traveled the world to some of the most dangerous regions, like the Amazon, the Arctic and Antarctic, the Gobi and Sahara deserts, and when you hear all they've accomplished and how, you'll be blown away. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Coming next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Make sure you have a pen and paper ready. We'll be joined by a university bookstore expert who'll share holiday reading and book suggestions to help you find that perfect gift. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And in this hour, I've been talking with Chris Brown, U.S. Marine combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan and Purple Heart recipient, turned farmer and businessman. And along the way, he's doing incredible work helping other veterans reconnect with life back here in the U.S. and create a sense of purpose and fulfillment and belonging. Like any nonprofit, GrowingVeterans.org relies heavily on partnerships with veterans organizations and sustainable agricultural organizations, whether farms or advocacy groups. They also tap into community volunteer agencies such as Community Action in Skagit County and the Whatcom Volunteer Center. Chris also sees universities and community colleges as important potential partners. Currently, they partner with Western Service Learning Center and the Service Learning Group at Whatcom Community College, both of organizations are able to provide interns for veterans, growing veterans, to help fund development, administration, and help with general farm work. Those partnerships are critical for continued development, but there's also another really important factor. GrowingVeterans.org, their mission, as I read you at the beginning, is to empower military veterans to grow food, communities, and each other. And these partnerships with community colleges, with advocacy groups, helps them fulfill that mission. Allows the veterans who are working on the farm to work right alongside people in the community. I asked Chris to tell me what the journey has meant to him from Marine to returning vet. How has building the farm helped him heal?
It helps keep me grounded. For me, it's really, it's therapeutic to be able to see all the people out here on a big work day. I don't really sit back and observe, but being able to be cognizant of that, all the work that we've done has created all these great connections. For me, that's really powerful. I mean, I definitely feel like I'm transitioned home. You know, I still have my struggles, and I don't foresee them completely leaving anytime soon. But being able to be part of this is incredibly therapeutic for me. I think maybe it's the Marine Corps boot camp drilled into me, but I feel like I'll always have like this mission mentality. I had a big fundraising meeting the other day, and you know, I had my suit on and my little portfolio, and I looked at myself and I was like, you know, I feel like I'm the same as I did as if I was going on a mission in Iraq, but I'm doing something really positive instead. And I still felt like that that intensity that you can get if you have an anxiety disorder, but it was a good feeling rather than a scary feeling, and even that to me is progress.
I asked Chris, what would you like people to take away from our conversation today? What do you want them to know? What would you say to vets who might be listening?
Well, first of all, if you're feeling like you're in tough times, you're not the only one. Myself and a lot of the folks involved with us have days where it's really hard to do anything, and but we have each other, and that's what helps us get through. You know, just knowing that you're not shouldering that burden alone can make things easier. But you know, if you are a veteran and you're listening to this, I would say get involved with us. Even if you're not interested in farming, you know, we can use all sorts of different types of help, fundraising, networking with local businesses and community agencies. You know, helping promote things online. There's all sorts of things that folks can do, and especially if you're a veteran, this is a good place to get plugged in with other vets and with your community. And if you're in an area that's not any of our outposts, and you have the time and passion and motivation to start an outpost, get in touch with us.
And we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, I will tell you how you can get in touch with Chris, because they need all the help they can get. And as I said, they're doing great work. This is not a one-way street here. They're helping many, many people. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please do stay with us. We will be right back.
Love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires, and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can, too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Coming next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Make sure you have a pen and paper ready. We'll be joined by a university bookstore expert who'll share holiday reading and book suggestions to help you find that perfect gift. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
If you'd like to advertise your business or service on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, or you'd like to become a program supporter by sponsoring one of our shows, please call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine a spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772 or email info@conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Join us live every Monday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 or stream live from conversationslive.net.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And we've spent the best part of this hour recognizing somebody up here in the Pacific Northwest who's making an incredible difference in the work that he does. And, you know, I met with Chris Brown, as I said, at the top of the hour in the summer, and I would not have driven up to Linden if I did not believe 100% he is the real deal. And such a humble person, and I guess, you know, that happens when you come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and you've received a Purple Heart, you've seen a whole different side of life. And he was very humble about the contribution he's making to the difference in other people's lives, but he definitely is making a difference. And I want to tell you where to find out more about Chris Brown and the work that he's doing. And you can go to growingveterans.org, growingveterans.org, and really everything you need to know about him and the work he's doing and the people he's involved with is all up there. And they are, as I said, really doing amazing work. So I think, Eric, you said you had a couple of questions. So why don't we tackle a couple of those and then we'll give more information out.
Yeah, a couple questions that you asked Chris, but my understanding is that unfortunately we had a little bit too much noise on this portion of the recording. So better for you to kind of articulate what he said rather than us playing back that recording, which people wouldn't be able to understand. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. So so one of the questions you asked Chris is, where do you sell everything?
Well, he sells, right now they have partnership with Growing Washington, and the partnership started off apparently with them as them being fiscal supporters of Growing Veterans. So they distribute it through the CSA program. And they literally grow everything up there, vegetables, turnips, beets, greens, garlic, cabbage. They're actually going to have a market stand this year in Seattle VA Hospital, I understand, where they'd be selling some produce, some of Growing Washington's produce out of there. So, you know, that's good because it gives them a bigger platform. It enhances their platform and gets them out there in the public a little bit more.
Absolutely. And now my understanding is that his organization is all volunteer apart from himself. And is there anybody else that's...
When I talked with him, they had five staff members. They were able to get a grant from the Bob Woodruff Foundation that allowed them to hire on some additional folk. They're helping with volunteer coordination and volunteer management out on the farm, and a couple of them helping with helping Chris develop their peer support training program that they're going to implement or try and implement next year. He said he felt they had a good amount of staff members, but I'm sure, you know, farming is a 24/7 thing. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else, they really do rely on volunteers. So,
and if people want to volunteer for the organization, can you give his contact info one more time here?
Well, it's veteran. It's growingveterans.org, growingveterans.org.
Fantastic. Now, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, does he get any time off?
You know, I don't think he does. I'm pretty sure. It's too bad he's really busy right now and can't speak with us. But he's out, working the farm and working the business and going to school. And one thing we didn't mention, because that I had a little bit of resistance on the tape there, was that he's a new dad. He became a new dad this summer. So he's got a lot going on.
It sounds like he definitely has his hands full, yeah.
But he did tell me they're out there 6 days a week. On the seventh day, if the plants need watering, that somebody will go in, turn the water on, and then they'll go back in and turn the water off. But they're out there 6 days a week full time. And so it's like anything, and especially, I mean, any growing business, you're putting 7/24 mm-hmm. into it pretty much. When you're working with the land and you're working with nature, a little bit more so.
I got to imagine that that's actually a very positive thing for a veteran, though, to be thinking about, to not have a lot of time on your hands, to be thinking about your experiences in war and instead be thinking about all the positive things that you're working for and that that you're contributing to and moving you forward in life. So I think that's probably a good thing.
Right. So I just came across this article. It is from Grow Northwest, and Chris is going to have a column in there. I think it's a monthly magazine, quarterly, excuse me. He's going to have a quarterly column. Grow Northwest. And so this article came out on November 6th. It was actually written in 2012, but I just wanted to share a little bit because he talks in there about, you know, how he started thinking he needed to turn things around. Mm-hmm. And he said that before he moved to this area, to the Northwest, a local vet in the community had committed suicide, and Chris had never met him, but he'd heard from everyone, you know, about how amazing this person was. And since then, a handful of other vets in his community have committed suicide. And as the incidents were happening, Chris kept thinking to himself, I'm so glad no one from my unit's gone this route. He lost apparently 41 Marines killed in action from his unit on three deployments, Iraq and Afghanistan, as we mentioned earlier. And but over the past year, which was 2012, to his knowledge, at least three men from his old unit had killed themselves. And so, I think what came across to me and when I was doing research on other stuff around this is that quiet desperation so many people do. Yeah. Hold it in and hang on. And he mentioned that he'd talked with a crusty old Navy SEAL who'd served in Vietnam. And he'd told Chris how many from his experience had killed themselves, whereas the Navy SEAL said he just turned to drink. And so I think with Chris's father taking him aside, it made him realize, you know, let's not go down that road.
Right. Yeah. That a lot of veterans suffer from the same thing.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, I was thinking about this. I was watching something on the Gaza Strip a few weeks ago, and I was watching this mother trying to get her three children off to school that morning. Mm-hmm. And they were terrified just going to school.
You As know? You would be living in that area under yeah. the constant threat of war
and
terrorism.
I thought, I just wonder how many people really get, none of us get it, you know, until you're in that experience, you can't get it. But how many people have really sat and thought, you know, when they wake up in the middle of the night in their nice comfy bed with their duvet on them. And I wonder how many have thought, gosh, what would it be like now if I was waking up in my camp, you know, my base camp. And, you know, like Chris did, Chris woke up to a suicide bombing.
Right.
You know, what would it be like if, you know, I'm really tired and my head hurts and my back aches and I feel like I've got flu coming on? What would it be like if I have to, you know, climb into my gear and pick up my guns and put on my boots and go out there? I just wonder, you know, we're kind of glib, I think, often about saying so-and-so's going off to, you know, in the military. They're going
right.
off on tour.
Yeah. Well, you asked Chris what drives him, and I'm curious what he said in response to that, because that's a tough question, I think.
Well, I think, actually, I'm going to read a little bit from this article. Again, it's from Grow Northwest, so you can check it out in Grow Northwest. He said there, I think it is for that reason, the fact that so many of people he knew and has heard of have committed suicide and lost their lives, you know, on the battlefield. I think it is for that reason alone I worked to the point of burnout to try and set up support systems for my fellow veterans. I don't want those deaths to be in vain, and I don't want my life to be lived for nothing. I've put a lot of hard work to come to terms with my post-traumatic stress and learned to manage the symptoms that came up. You know, and he's lucky now. He has an amazing wife, family, friends that act as a healthy support system to him. So, but not everybody's that lucky, unfortunately. And there are people who've served our country from all sides of the political, social, economic spectrum, he goes on to say, and have risked their lives so the rest of us didn't have to. Yet a majority of Americans seem oblivious to the fact that almost 1% of the population carries with them the burden of over 10 years of war. 10 years. And it's not just the military enlisted person. It's, of course, families who go through that, too, in a different way. But he's doing great work, and I really want to encourage everyone listening today to please jump on growingveterans.org, and especially this Thanksgiving week, and just take a look at the work he's doing and see if you can help in any way. If you have veterans in your family who are needing help, put them in touch with growingveterans.org. And, you know, it may not be Chris himself who gets back to you, but somebody there will. They're all veterans. They're all, as we said, largely volunteers and very, very much dependent upon the community at large. So growingveterans.org.
Fantastic. Well, I got to thank you for bringing this story to all of our attention here, because I had no idea this great organization existed. So that's wonderful. And appreciate you bringing that to us here on Thanksgiving week. Something to be thankful for, all the people doing good work here around the Puget Sound.
Absolutely. And I ran into somebody else on Saturday at TEDx Rainier who's doing really good work. Maybe we'll have him on the show in the new year. So as we leave today, I just want to say I am thankful for you listening in today and supporting our show these past 10 years or 7 years with Conversations Live. And I've been around here for 10 years. Of course, I want to thank you, Eric Ryder, for keeping us live every week and for editing the pieces that I sent over to you. I know there was some challenges there with sound, but that happens when you work out in the field, you know.
That's right.
The wind blows and stuff, you know, bangs happen.
Yeah, yeah. At least we're not in a war zone. We can be thankful for that, you know. A little wind is
not a big deal.
If that's the most of our worries, then that's fine. You know, we could deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also want to, you know, I'm thankful for my friends and family, of course, especially my brother and sister. So who are you thankful for? And then we'll call it a day and we'll go.
Well, of course, I'm thankful to be able to work with you and all the other great hosts here at the station. And I'm very thankful to my friends and family for being there for me. And I try to be there for them as well. And so thankful for all of that.
All right. Well, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. You know what? And if you are out there stressing, running around, trying to get the perfect outfit, the perfect turkey, the perfect cranberry sauce, and you're stressing out over it, it is not worth it. Chill out. Chill out. This is about friends. It's about family.
Exactly.
It's about appreciating what we have. So whether you're eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or having all the works, just relax and enjoy. Relax and enjoy. We will be back next week with an all-live new show. Thank you for tuning in today to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. You can find me at 1-800-495-7617, 800-495-7617, if you have comments or feedback on today's show. You can also email me at info@conversationslive.net, info@conversationslive.net. And of course, you can find us on Facebook under Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair. Thanks for being with us. See you next week. Until then, live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.